your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to a Monday of Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914. Somebody just called asking about questions for voting. Don't ask me. I don't have any of those answers. Seemed like a wrong number, but he gave me the right number. Interesting way to, and I was like, okay, sir, I got to go. My opener is on. Coming up on the show today, we're going to bring on a UWL graduate student who's going to tell us about what's happening on campus and off campus. Quite interesting. If you hadn't heard, the entire dorm situation went in shelter in place, so to speak. That was their wording, shelter in place. No students can go anywhere. We're locked down. The virus is running rampant on UWL's campus. Classes are canceled today and tomorrow. In-person classes are done for undergrads for 2 weeks, I believe. And then the students can't really leave the dorms at all for 2 weeks either. College, super fun. At this point, if I was in college, I'd be like, if you're going to do this to me, I want my tuition back, which is kind of one of the things we'll talk about. According to the UWB Lacrosse COVID dashboard, no update yet. Those updates usually came at 4:30, but there's no update today. Western Tech has launched its own dashboard. Not a whole lot of activity on there at this point. And the La Crosse County Health Department's dashboard, no update there either. Refreshing the page, it's still updated through, it says Sunday. So does that mean, so maybe it is updated. It's updated through Sunday. So 80 cases yesterday, or average. Nope, that's average. Average cases the last 7 days, 80 cases. And Sunday's total, 125 cases, which actually matched up with state data, I think. So there's a first time for everything. 608-785-7914. The school, La Crosse School District's having an SRO community meeting tonight, the school, a school resource officer community forum. That's coming up at right after the show. It's not going to be on WISM, but it's coming up here at 6 p.m. If you go to lacrosseschools.org and on the top right, there's, you just see SRO program review, hit that. And then on the top right again, SRO community forum, September 14th, you hit that, simple. And you can read a little bit about it. There's a link and a YouTube link there too. Just talking about the long running SRO program through the La Crosse School District and the La Crosse Police Department. Police Department obviously wants to see that continue. It's been going on for so long. They see it as something that's helpful. Other people see it as having police officers in school, not exactly helpful. Somebody late last night, right around midnight, a call came in that somebody had fallen off Granddad Bluff. I don't have a ton of details still. I'm hoping to have more tomorrow with Battalion Chief Snow from the fire department. He was supposed to be working all day today, but he wasn't. That Ken Gilliam chief guy, he doesn't know what's going on there with the department, telling me that guy, the battalion chief's working all day and then he's not. But Bijong, the battalion chief on duty right now, he just a half hour ago, he gave me a tiny bit of details. We know it was a younger male that fell off Granddad Bluff right off Bliss Road that heads to the, is it Granddad Bluff Road, right? Like that heads to the Outlook. So I believe if you're heading to the Outlook on that road, I believe he fell off to the right there somewhere, 4499, somewhere around there. There was an actual address in the fire department's police report. So, and that person fell roughly 30 feet. So when you think somebody falling off the bluff, you think like 30 feet is pretty far. But you think like really far, right? But the 30 feet, yeah, like 30 feet. But still, it's definitely further than I want to be falling. 4 feet is falling just from my chair here in the studio. That's far enough for me. Not even exactly sure when that, and I believe they that person may have been with some friends or family. Just not a whole lot of details at this point. So I'm sorry for that, but 30 feet. I mean, that's kind of the one detail everyone wants, right? The person fell 30 feet off Granddad Bluff. And all right, so I think we're going to go to Brad's. We're going to go to Brad doing the news. We'll bring back, her name's Hannah Meyer. She's a first-year grad student at UW La Crosse. We're going to talk about the shelter in place and, you know, how life on campus and off campus is right now with this, with the virus, and how the university is dealing with it. But we're also going to talk about tuition and the idea that the university is charging full tuition for students that aren't getting the full college experience. And I think Hannah knows a little bit. There's a little bit more in the weeds to that, and we'll let her explain it. But it's a pretty interesting conversation, and I look forward to having it. All right, Brad doing the news coming up. We'll be back right here on Wisdom. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Let's see if this is Hannah. Hannah, are you there?
It is me.
All right.
Hello.
I was getting nervous there for a second. All right, so we got on the phone now. Let me get my notes up, although I know who you are. Hannah Meyer, she's a first-year graduate student at UW La Crosse. She's going to talk to us a little bit about what UW La Crosse did yesterday with, you know, one of many things, including a shelter in place that doesn't affect you, Hannah, so much as some of the other stuff. But what did you think right away when you heard the news that all the dorms are going shelter in place yesterday?
So first, what I thought is, I'm not surprised. I knew this was coming. However, I was surprised at how fast this took place and how fast this went down. Last Friday on the 11th, they shut down one of the dorm halls, and I thought that would be it. And then Sunday, we got the email that all the dorm halls were shutting down. And so I thought that was super fast.
Okay, so that the order came from you guys got like an email, right? Everyone got like an email at 1 o'clock?
Yep.
All right. So
around 1 o'clock, we got an email from the dean of students.
Okay, and this email says that shelter in place for anyone in the dorm among other things. But this is the funny thing is shelter in place beginning at 5 p.m. So do you think it was just a mad dash to the liquor store between 1 and 5 p.m. then?
It was definitely a mad dash to the liquor store and grocery store and to all their overaged people who could buy them liquor for sure.
Yeah,
if I was trapped in the dorms too, I would want to be celebrating with a bottle of booze as well.
Yeah, the idea of hey, by the way, you're going to be stuck in the dorms for 2 weeks. It doesn't make any sense. Can you? So you were describing to me before the show that people they're really locked in the dorms, right? They can get out of their rooms, but they can't. They're not permitted to leave, really.
Right, they're not permitted to leave the dorms at all. Food will be delivered to them, so some people can't even leave their dorm building to go get food. How I related it to is when we were in like eighth grade and we took those overnight field trips and they had us in hotel rooms, they would put blue masking tape over the doors, and so if we were to open our door, the tape would rip, so they would know we would left. So all the exit buildings, besides I think the main entrance, are taped off with blue masking tape to see if anybody leaves and they can track them where they go.
Yeah, I wonder what happens when... Are there cameras, or what happens when one of those doors, maybe is there an alarm that would go off? I don't know. Maybe I'm guessing you wouldn't know either.
Right. So there are alarms stationed at all those little exit doors. I know when I was living on campus, if you were to try and go through those doors at a certain point at night, all these alarms would sound and your RA would have to come turn them off. So I'm assuming they have those alarms engaged and they'll come running after you. Guns a-blazing.
Seems like the students should all at one point, all just run out of the dorm all at the same time. And then what are you going to do?
Right. They can't stop you in those numbers. Or they want to. They get COVID.
Yeah. And then right. They just let them go. They all got disease. We can't touch them. We got to get them away from us. How right. often do you look at the dashboard that UWL launched the other day that just kind of shows, you know, like one of the alarming things is there's 140 quarantine areas on campus. I don't even know what those would look like. Maybe you do. And 98 of them are filled. So at this point, you know, there's 42 available right now, but they haven't updated the website today either. So we're maybe not sure how many of those spaces are available.
Right. Yeah. That whole space is available, I'm not quite sure either. I know that they were considering the dorms as like quarantine spaces. So I don't know how many people are in the dorms right now. But I know when they shut down Coat Hall, which is a freshman dorm, there's 370 kids quarantined in there, so that doesn't really make sense with the spaces. But I'm assuming it's just taking into account all the dorm buildings.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, those numbers are very high.
I feel like 140 quarantine areas. Maybe they go in the library and those little study halls. Maybe those are quarantine areas. I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
You have
there's
to sit
rooms
in,
all the way in the basement. They just lock people away.
Yeah, you have to sit in here for 2 weeks in the library. Good luck. You can't touch the books either. You'll get COVID on them.
Right. Exactly.
If you were a freshman right now and you were locked in the dorms, I mean, would you just, what would you, I mean, you have to do this for 2 weeks. Classes have been canceled today and tomorrow, right? And then for undergraduates, they start on Wednesday, virtual learning. So you got to, what, sit in your dorm room and like one, your roommate in your dorm, I'm assuming they have roommates, is doing one class on one side of this tiny dorm and another one's doing a class on the other side?
Right, that's exactly what I'm assuming. They're all quarantined together, and I don't know how I would manage to get through that. I would have to first love my roommate dearly, but even then I'd probably get sick of them. And plus, I would need a bottle of alcohol to probably get me through it, all of it. But yeah, they're trapped in these little like 9x10 rooms, hoping to get through it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then the idea that one, maybe you got headphones, so at least you don't, and I don't know how interactive virtual learning is, but like, hey, I got to answer a question or I got to ask a question to my professor on virtual learning. Well, meanwhile, the kid behind me, my roommate, is also doing a class, and he's, you know, he or she is talking. So, maybe they go to, I don't know. It doesn't seem like you could go anywhere else in the dorm, like in the basement. I feel like there's probably not a whole lot of space available for you said what, 300 some students in that one dorm. So it's probably not any space available to go and try to virtual learn away from anyone else.
Oh, absolutely. There's no private time either. It's just you and your roommate stuck there listening to each other, giving probably icebreakers in class for the next few weeks going over the syllabus.
Yeah, it would be nice, too. Like, if you're one of those, pairs in a dorm that, you know, doesn't have PlayStation, maybe didn't have, like, the suite set up with a TV. All you got is, like maybe your phone or your laptop, and now you got to sit in there for 2 weeks. I don't know. It sounds like it could be pretty miserable.
It makes me go crazy just thinking about it. I don't even like living off campus almost because I feel like I can't go anywhere. I couldn't even imagine being stuck in a dorm room.
Yeah, and let's get into that. So you're obviously, you quote-unquote, well, not a quote-unquote, you graduated last year, right? Did you graduate from UWL?
So, yeah, I actually graduated in 2015. I took this past summer off because I was working, but I came back in the summer of 2020 for my grad schooling.
Okay, so you came back during a pandemic. Good job by you.
Yeah, let me tell you, I have considered dropping out about every single day of grad school.
Yeah, and so, before we get into the petition that you started, I think we can get into that after the break, but the idea for first-year grad students or grad students in general, the way you guys, quote-unquote, learn is a little bit different than how undergraduates are learning right now, right?
Right. So we are actually still in-person classes right now because my grad cohort's only 15 people large. So we're allowed in the buildings right now. We all have special key access so we can go to our instructors and our professors. However, we don't want to put ourselves at risk at this point because I work with an immunocompromised group of people. So if I were to go anywhere on campus where COVID has been exposed and I get COVID, then that puts my grad cohort all at risk and all the people I work with. So we're just in between a rock and a hard place at this point.
And how many hours of class do you have a day?
So I usually go from about 6:30 in the morning until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now with COVID, some of our classes have been shut down and we're still trying to figure out those options. But yeah, it's about 8 hours of class each day.
Okay, so side note here, because this is a topic that has nothing to do with COVID, but since I got a student on, the parking situation where they started to charge $1 for parking, does that affect you, or are you close enough to campus where you could just walk?
Well, first, I hate the parking here. It sucks. The other day, I went to go park to drop something off from my professor, and within 3 minutes, I walked out. This was during the summer, may I add, so there wasn't a whole lot of students on campus. And I walk outside, and there's a person writing me a freaking ticket. And I was like, bro, I just had to go drop something off. So, yes, the parking is terrible. They oversold all the parking passes to, like, all the parking lots, so you can't park there. Thankfully, I do live close enough where I can just walk. So I don't have to worry about parking, but you can pay the $1 an hour in the lots or on the street to go to class, which is just stupid.
Yeah, but in your situation, you say you're up at, you know, what did you say, 6 in the morning? Seems early for classes, but, eight, you know, even if you go 8 to 3, the parking situation, you can only pay for up to 4 hours, so you would have to, at some point, you know, run out and flip your car around to another block.
Right, and thankfully we do have, like, those good breaks in between classes, because some of my good friends, they go out every few hours and go switch their cars around into new places, because only the streets, like, surrounding campus are pay to park, but the streets, like, right off of campus that aren't surrounding campus are free, but those are still, like, 2 hours, so they have to go out and switch the tires around so they don't get a ticket.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, how far would one, would a UWL student have to walk to get free parking? Would they have to, would they be at, like, the YMCA?
No. I mean, honestly, it feels that way, but really only a few blocks. But the problem is, if you're not there at early enough in the morning, if you try to go at noon, all the parking around campus that is free is taken. So in the end, if you try to come around noon when most people have their classes, you still have to walk just as far as if you were to just leave from home. So yeah, that's why I don't even try to drive to class sometimes, because I know I won't find free parking.
We're speaking with Hannah Meyer. She's a first-year grad student at UW La Crosse. Graduated in 2015, as we've just learned. We're talking about the COVID-19 situation, but obviously we have to squeeze in some gripes about parking, because everyone can relate to that. Okay, one more thing about parking is the idea that you've probably have friends that have to dish out $4 or $8 a day, right? Like, that seems, that's going to add up. And you said they oversold the parking passes. So do you have friends that just, like, drive in and out of parking lots and are like, okay, everything's full, now I got to dish out $4 today?
Right. So I know that some of my friends weren't even able to purchase the parking pass, because the day that they go on sale, it's just a mad dash for the parking pass. People are buying them and trying to get to them. And so if you're not aware of when they're going on sale and you miss out, then you don't really get a parking pass in your SOL. So there is, like, a third party. I don't think the campus knows about this or should know about this, is people do sell them. So if somebody ends up not using them, so I have a feeling some will be going on sale right now because COVID, so people are going home, people sell them online and give them to other people. But yeah, if you try to get there at noon and the parking lot is full, you just have to park on the street and fork over extra money.
So there's a black market for UWL parking passes in the parking lot.
Oh yeah.
Did some you know, UWL computer whiz create a dashboard for not just COVID-19 but also for black market parking passes?
I'm sure they did somehow. I think now when you buy a parking pass, you might have to register it to a certain vehicle. But back when I was in school, people would buy them and then they would sell them, so you could still use them.
Yeah, now maybe I'll
just have to add a new vehicle.
You could maybe go search Facebook Marketplace for some, like, secret keywords for UWL parking passes. But you can't use UWL parking pass, because then the parking police,
right,
will find you. All right, so I want to talk about this petition that you started last summer, and it has to do with tuition and maybe the conniving way that UW La Crosse is trying to get students on the hook for tuition. But we're gonna take a quick break first. We got Scott's comment coming up, Brad doing the news, and we'll be back with Hannah Meyer, graduate student. She's gonna break down the petition and the UWL tuition situation after this on WISM. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Hannah Meyer is on with us. She's a UWL graduate student. If you're just tuning in, Hannah, I did get a text from Padraic. He asked if you feel like the downtown bar scene has been a factor in the spread of COVID-19 on campus.
I mean, yes, 100%. Thankfully, all my friends and I, we're all very safe, and we do not go down to the downtown bars. But, yes, it's been a huge problem because people aren't wearing their masks down there because they're drinking. So it's definitely spreading.
Yeah, we need masks with, like, straw holes so we could just drink through the straw.
Right.
All right, so we've covered kind of a lot of things, but there's three things I want to hit yet. You first off, aside from getting getting a student's opinion on parking, which was great, you also were at the National Guard testing site today, and do you want to describe how that went?
Sure, I can definitely describe it. So it opened at 10 a.m. this morning. Some fellow cohort members and I just wanted to go just to double check to make sure we're safe. And we got there around 11:30, And we got there and we were informed that their online system had gone down. And so we were backed up to the police station right by that blue baby statue. And we asked them, oh, well, how long is this going to take? They're like, oh, it shouldn't take more than 45 minutes to an hour.
Hannah, let me interrupt you.
They're waiting.
Let me interrupt you. It's called Hatched Baby. All right. That's what it's called.
Oh, sorry. Hatched Baby. The Hatched Blue Baby. The creepy statue. And so we were sitting there for 2.5 hours, and we did not leave the parking lot till 2:05. And then apparently they ran out of tests at 3 o'clock, so we made it just in time.
And this would be fine if you were an undergrad, because you don't have anything to do today and tomorrow. But you're a graduate student, so I imagine you still have like classes and stuff to take care of. Are classes canceled for you the next 2 days as well?
So today was kind of a mess. It was very hectic. We were getting emails from professors over and over again that today we did get our classes canceled, just because we did have a few students voicing their concern that they don't want to be in person. So we did have to go online today. We did have one online Zoom class, but our class will be postponed till Wednesday now as well. So we had kind of a lot of time.
Is there a situation here where some people are like, I don't want to be in person at all, I'm going online while other people are in person, so we're doing we're both virtual and in person at the same time?
So a lot of us like to learn in person, and with the courses that I'm taking, it's definitely more of a hands-on, in-lab, like, learning experience. But some of us, we just don't want to be that one bad person that if we show any sign or symptom, we don't want to miss class. So we want to be there in person. But then again, if we show a sign or symptom, we don't want to be that one person that also brings the virus to all of our friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there an option then for you to virtual learn while everyone else is in person?
So right now, that's kind of what our professors are talking about. That's why we had classes canceled today, because they're trying to convert over to a Zoom recording feature to try and record it for us, because they don't really know how to do that yet.
All right. So this kind of seems like that would have been something that we had all summer to think about.
You would think. You would hope.
All right. So a lot of people want to blame students for the virus running rampant in La Crosse County, or at least in La Crosse, or at least on campus. And I think that's an easy way to do it. And Podrick's text kind of points to that. Hey, is the kids going, or students going to the bars to blame for all these tests, or for all these positive cases? But this was probably to be expected, right? And we shouldn't be blaming students as much as we should be blaming the administration, right? Like, we should point the finger higher than just, like, students who, of course, are going to congregate in the basement with a $5 solo cup on the weekends because they're college students.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you there. I mean, the administration's doing what they can to try and keep the university funded. And so to do that, they said, let's roll. Let's bring everybody back on campus. Let's bring back all the... my phone started beeping at me. Let's bring back all the students. And so... this had to have been expected from them. And if I was a freshman living out my freshman year back in whatever year it was, I would have been the one with the solo cup drinking, having a good time, because that's what college is all about. And that's what all the pictures you see and everybody having fun. And people who are that young think they're immune to it anyway, so they don't really care.
All right. And that gets to you started a petition, and this had more to do with what happened in the summer. But can you describe the petition you had, and it has to do with tuition fees and trying to keep the school funded a little bit, right?
Right. So how the tuition fund breaks down is there's actual tuition for classes. There's something called our segregated fees, and then there's like housing and meal plans that kind of makes up the entire tuition. And so we were getting charged all these segregated fees, and these segregated fees consisted of things like our rec center, our athletics, our field house, and the student union, all to which were closed down to us the entire summer while I was taking my online courses. And to me, this just didn't make sense that we were getting the full charge for these buildings, even though they were closed and we didn't have any access to them. So I created a petition to try and get some of these segregated fees waived, because I'm a broke college kid. Whatever money I can save wherever I can is super beneficial to me, whether it's $200, whether it's $1,500. And so I did make this petition, and I actually brought this to the Dean of Students, who actually sent out the huge email. And basically I was told that since these buildings still are technically in fully operational use, that we are not allowed to cut off any percentage of the price of it, even though there's no staff working the buildings. I'm literally just paying for the lights to be on and the doors to be locked.
Yeah, this would be like the school charging everyone for a Netflix account, that you can use with when you log in through the school's system, but also the school's shutting down the internet within the system, so you can't use the Netflix account, but they're still charging you.
Exactly. They're like, well, it's there, it's available, but you can't use it. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for keeping the building
and
there.
And the reality here is the school's charging you for, I think you as students, you can go to like games for free. You can use the rec center, which the rack, right? Like the workout facility area. You can use that for quote unquote free and other things. But
right.
But hidden, I don't know if they're hidden, but within your tuition fees, you're charged to go, you know, everyone is charged. Like when I was school, it was like $25, and then I didn't have to worry about paying for a football ticket on Saturday. And, you know, I could
right.
just go and use the workout facility without being charged a membership fee. But you guys are getting charged those, but you can't go work out.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So they did open the rec eventually at August 17th was the day it finally opened, and you had to make an appointment and come during your appointment time. We're getting charged $56 a semester, but now with the shelter-in-place order, the rec is now closed again, along with all the other buildings that were shut down during the summer.
I feel like
I'm thinking about changing.
Yep, there you go. You're ahead of me.
I'm going to change the petition title to Waiving Segregated Fees for Fall of 2020, and we're going to bring this to life again.
Yeah, and when you do that, you can send it to me, and then I'll get all my listeners. You'll have all four of us.
Right.
We'll sign the petition.
Perfect. Well, that's four more friends than I have. So
yeah. So and yeah. All this seems a little just strange to me. Do you know? Do you have friends at other schools? Or I'm sure you're a grad student that graduated years ago. So I'm sure like there's not a lot of people in the same position. But my nephew is going to school at UW Stevens Point, and I haven't heard from him yet about how things are going there. But obviously, UW Madison is in a ridiculous situation too.
Oh, yeah. So I do consider myself, I guess, older now that I'm a graduate student. But my brother, he actually lives in Madison. He went to school at UW-Milwaukee, but he's living in Madison now. And, yep, they shut down the two freshman dorms again. Not again, but they're quarantining the two freshman dorms. So, and they're even in a huge city, so I don't even know how they're doing it down there. But, again, they're on that two-week lockdown. So it's probably a mess.
Yeah, at this point, it just seems... If I was a college student, especially an undergrad that's locked in the dorms, I'd be like, all right, well, if you're going to do this and you decided that it was okay to bring us all back, give me my tuition money
right.
back. Is there a deadline for some of this stuff? Because I thought there was a deadline for some of this stuff where once classes go past a certain date, you're charged full tuition, something like that?
Right. So there's basically a withdrawing period from classes, and I was trying to look that up, and for some reason I cannot find the current 2020 tuition due date, so I think they're doing that on purpose maybe. But I found the 2019 in due dates, and the fall bill was due 9/16/2019, so if you don't turn it in by the 16th, they were going to charge you extra, and from there is where you can start to withdraw from classes. And then October 16th of last year was when the fall bill was due from the unpaid balance, and then November 15th was like the final straw. Like if you don't pay it here, then more charges will be added to your bill.
Okay. So
so during the summer, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought I had the date for you, but now I've got it. I don't have it, so never mind. Go ahead.
Well, these are the 2019 years, so you might have the date compared to me. I couldn't find the 2020 date, no matter how hard I looked.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to find out what day September 16th, 2019 was, but my work computer isn't letting me change the date. So,
all right. All of our grad cohorts made a bet that by the time tuition's due, we're all going to be online anyways, and we're all going to be sent home so they can charge us our full tuition, and then they're just going to kick us out.
Yeah, you'll have classes the day the tuition deadline is, and then the next day they'll make an announcement like they did yesterday where it's just like, oh, by the way, too much COVID, see you later.
Right, exactly.
Right, make the check out to UW La Crosse, University of Wisconsin La Crosse.
Exactly, and they get you because if you don't pay your student bill when it's due, then you can't register for spring classes. So for me, when I made my petition in the summer, I wasn't paying any of my segregated fees, and I told them that. I was like, hey, I'm not paying these. And then by the time I wanted to enroll for my fall classes, they're like, ha, gotcha. You need to pay now if you want to continue on to grad school. And I'm like, well, shucks.
Here
we are.
Do you have an out right now if you decided that this is too ridiculous? Virtual class, your professors don't even know if they're going to, if they, it sounds like they're trying in the next 2 days to have some kind of virtual slash in-person hybrid situation. Is there a way to get out of your tuition for the fall at this point?
I haven't really dug deep into it because I have a feeling if I dig into it, I'm going to highly consider wanting to get out of my tuition. But my grad program only runs year long, so I'm just trying to stick through it at this point and just bear down with it.
Is classes, are classes easier virtually or not? Not at all.
It really depends on how well you learn. Thankfully, I'm a pretty good learner, so I can pick up material nicely online. But I know a lot of people like to learn face-to-face. I do know that some classes you can cheat online more, per se. Not that I do, never have, never will. So I know some students like that aspect of it.
And then the whole virtual thing, too, the idea that, like, okay, class dismissed, like, does it come at, you know, 4:50 in the hour and class is dismissed? Or do you have somebody with the Zoom wave their hand and they got to answer that one more question before everyone can close their window? At least in virtual classes, you can just close the window. You don't have to listen to that one stupid person's question at the end of class.
Right. There always is that one person, though, that will hang on to the end of the Zoom call and ask a professor's question. But thankfully, yeah, they give the final wave, and we all wave goodbye. We all keep our cameras on during our Zoom classes. I know some people don't, and so we can see when the professor's done and waving to us, and we wave, and we press leave the meeting, and we are gone.
Yeah, see you later. Hannah Meyer, thanks a lot for joining us and answering some questions and having some fun, too.
For sure. Thanks for having me on, Rick. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too. All right, bye.
See ya.
All right, that was Hannah Meyer, UW Lacrosse graduate student. We hit everything. I think we hit just about everything from parking, being charged $1 for parking, to the National Guard testing site, right? That happened today, and they ran out of tests at 3 p.m. I think they usually go, well, it was 10 o'clock today, so I think they were going to go to 5 p.m. There's one in Winona tomorrow and Wednesday. If you really want to go get a test, it's open to anyone. I don't even know if you have to be a Minnesota resident. But from everything that I was reading, it was anyone can come get tested. So if you really want to go get tested, you could go to Winona. We covered the shelter in place, the idea that there's blue tape over the exits in the dormitories right now, except for the main entrance, and people can't come and go. Like, students can't get out of there. They can only leave to get the food that's delivered to them from the cafeteria. UWL students can't even go to the calf and just, we called it the trough. You just load up on everything. Chicken sandwich day, you get like 4 chicken sandwiches, put 2 in your pocket, and then eat lunch and then go home for the evening and eat chicken sandwiches later that night. But you can't even do that. I'm wondering if you can do that, if they're doing carry out, or I guess they're delivering cafeteria food to you. Not that it sounds all that appetizing, but is it still all you can eat? Because that was one of the benefits of having a cafeteria situation at college. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll wrap up after this right here on Wisdom. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. A couple minutes left to go in the show. Thanks again to Hannah Meyer, UW Lacrosse graduate student, for joining and kind of breaking down a bunch of things happening on campus, happening in the streets with parking, happening at the National Guard testing site even. And we'll see if they're put on the hook for being charged full tuition or not. She's going to start another petition. When that goes live, we could put it online and get everyone to sign it. We got a text from Leah. So part of the conversation that we had was talking about whether or not we blame students, bringing students to lacrosse to attend the university, and, you know, the expectation that they were going to stay in their dorms, wear masks, not go congregate with friends, not go to house parties, not go to the bars, not do anything that would spread the virus. So not do anything. I guess you could hike Hickson for a while. You could for a little bit, and then it's going to be too cold. But anything indoors, you know, they're not even getting the full college experience anyway. But Leah says, I totally disagree that students are to blame. Years ago, college-age kids were called to the draft for Vietnam. All these kids have to do is stay out of the bars and wear their masks. So, yeah, so because students at one point were drafted to go to Vietnam, these students should be expected not to do anything. So I don't know. I think the administration, you know, whether you want to say the UW system or each individual college, probably knew that students were going to end up in basements with $5 solo cups at a beer party. They were going to end up at the bars. And, you know, it doesn't take all the students. It just takes one. And then that student goes to the dorm. And the dorm is a tiny little place. And, you know, the dorm room, then your roommate has it. And it just takes a couple of people for this thing to spread. And one could argue that it doesn't affect students of that age group, is the virus doesn't affect students of that age group as much as it does older people. But, you know, like Hannah was saying, their classes are still in person. And, you know, there's teachers teaching. And they're probably older. Eric from Sparta is calling in. Eric, you got a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, this lady had on there from the UW. She seemed like a very nice lady. She said something about this Hatch Blue Baby. It didn't sound too good to me. And I think the same thing she thinks. I think this thing should be canceled, get rid of, thrown in the river, whatever you want to do. The Hatch Blue Baby is a monstrosity. It belongs to part of Planned Parenthood.
So that entire conversation, Eric, what you got out of it was a grad student at UWL also doesn't like Hatch Baby?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I mean, sure. I don't think a lot of people like Hatch Baby, but that whole conversation, that's what Eric got out of it. He doesn't like Hatch Baby either, and we should throw it in the river. I mean, we could give it back to the artist who lives in Germany, or who's from Germany. Not exactly sure where he lives. At some point, the Hatch Baby will leave La Crosse. It's just out on loan to us, and I like it. I like Hatch Baby. I think it should be more prominent. It should be a more prominent place, but we probably need to keep it by the police department just because it is such an odd-looking thing that you want to blame college students for spreading the virus. We definitely could blame inebriated students coming home from the bars, walking by Hatch Baby if it wasn't next to the police station. And maybe it's not so obvious that the police station is right there, but there's a lot of cop cars right there. So I think nobody messes with it. Plus, the police use it in their Facebook post often, which is super funny. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny that was what you took out of that conversation, Eric. All right, so I think that's all the time I have for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see what tomorrow brings. I'm hoping to have somebody from the fire department describe to me a little bit better what happened on Granddad's Bluff. It's probably going to be a little bit difficult, but we can get a little bit more details on that. Thanks. We'll see you.